For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we welcome you inside the Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast. Sam Cementi here with you alongside, as always, the incomparable and all-knowing Jillian Adge on this Wednesday. Hump day. We're in the middle of the week. The Kings play tonight after playing yesterday in Los Angeles. I feel like they should just play LA, the Lakers, or the Clippers too, because they do well against the Clippers. But these LA Laker Kings games, Jill, have been just fucking sick this year. Even though the Kings haven't been fun, those games, especially in Staples Center, have been a lot of fun. So we're going to talk about that game. We're going to talk about the Sam Amick Athletic piece this morning about McNair, Monty McNair, having the green light to do whatever is necessary, whatever he wants to do. No Vivek meddling that we know of.
No. Well, let's clarify. There was a goal in mind of he can do whatever's necessary to meet that goal. Let's not say all avenues are open, because they made it clear there's still a goal of the postseason while improving currently, not an either or, while. So
like an
still impossible making
ask.
The postseason present. So for anyone that's thinking tanking, to me, that took that out the window, at least as of now.
Sure. And then we'll end with a preview of the game tonight against the Hawks back in Sacramento against a depleted Hawks team, which means nothing because it's the Kings. But let's start with the Laker game first. It was entertaining. Buddy Hield, I think, really, really likes to make the Lakers jealous that they didn't stick with that trade that they had in place for him, because he lights them up every time they play, and especially if it's in Staples. All right, I'm sorry. It's not Staples Center anymore, is it? It's the...
Just call it Staples, same way we call Arco. It's
okay.
Staples.
The yeah. Crypto Center or whatever.
Whatever.
It's so stupid. Yeah. But yeah, Buddy Hield had 26 points, 7 threes. Last episode, I asked you, Jill, how many times the Kings lose when Hield hits that many threes.
And, they were 4-0.
Were they 4-0? Okay. There you go.
Now they're 4-1.
Now they're 4-1. Damn
but
you, LeBron James.
He got the Genie Bus handshake pregame. Laker fans were for sure to be put on that. So they're still waiting. There was a bunch of things out there of somehow find a way to...
Yeah,
the Kings don't want to get that done. But the thing is, if you add in other teams, sure, you can get it done.
It's true. Didn't think about that.
But that's what it'll take just to match salary. I mean, because you're not taking a Ariza back. So just to match salary wise, you'd have to involve other ones, which you never know, could happen. But I did think it was interesting, though, that she made sure to go down there, and they gave the handshake, and Buddy made sure to put the shirt over his mouth, you know, so you couldn't.
He's good at that.
It was being said, you know, the normal stuff that players do, right? But
Buddy's been doing it a lot.
But funny, yeah. And it's always to the teams that want him. So,
yeah, that's true. He doesn't.
That's
the
thing. He plays well against the teams that want him. It's just we have yet to have anything come to fruition.
I wish every team wanted Buddy Hield then.
Yeah,
it would just
but you know what? It made it fun. Those back and forth threes were. You know,
LeBron and him were exchanging blows,
you know, and I don't even think they played bad last night. It was the turnover. Had they not had the turnovers, I think they win that game, or at least knock them down. The Lakers are horrible at turnovers. Westbrook had 9 the game before, and you let him break a 407 game turnover streak because I think Mitchell was the only one that actually got into space and almost, you know, made him turn over the ball, but nobody else really forced enough to obviously for him to continue his streak going.
Right.
And he averages like at least 3 a game. So like, it's not, I mean, uncommon for him to at least have a couple, but to not at least get one, but they only have like 5 as a team.
Five, yep.
So, I mean, you
that's incredible.
Did nothing to force any kind of,
and the Kings at 18.
Yeah, and at one point they had like 5 in a row. I mean, it's just, you can't do that. when it's a close game and you give them those extra possessions, that's all it took. I mean, that's all it took.
It's almost impressive looking at the full stat sheet because the Kings were better in every category, 52% from the field, 41 from the three, better from the line, better assists, one more rebound. But yeah, when it comes to the things that can flip a game, turnovers, literally, blocks, steals, the Lakers were better in all of those categories, especially turnovers, like we said, 18 to 5.
They had 12 to 15 extra possessions. That's going to get you every time.
Westbrook actually had no turnovers, which is
unheard of. They broke a 407 game streak.
I thought it was like less than a certain amount, but that's just none.
Zero. Like he hadn't had in the playoffs, it was 2020. In a regular season game, it was like 2013 or something like that. No, it was like a legit, and he had 9 the game before. That's what I'm saying. Like he has like at least 3 to 4 a game. Like that's just a given. You know, that's what you're going to get out of him. And they couldn't even manage to get one. That's what I was like, that's so King. That's a typical Kings thing that would happen.
And then
only get them to have 5 is just crazy.
Right. And then you get the other, because LeBron's even good usually for a couple turnovers in a game because he's so aggressive all the time. But the Damian Jones on LeBron James matchup by Gentry, I don't know. I don't know how other people feel about that. I just feel like that was, I get it, the physicality, the size, it matches up, but I don't know what he was expecting, really. Bagley worked a little bit in the previous time.
But no one else was really working. Like, so I don't know, like they didn't have anybody else to go to. Like, I don't know. I mean, unless you put Mitchell back in and sit Damian, but then you're asking like Barnes to do it and he outweighs Barnes by like how much. I just don't know. I don't think they had anyone, and you throw Harkless out there, he's getting pushed around. I just don't think you had anyone that you could necessarily put there besides maybe Mitchell. And even then, that's a huge height difference. But what got me too was Gentry's postgame comments. I don't know if you saw that, where he said that, let me see if I can find the quote, because it was so the typical of, we switched when, we have to stop switching when
they got them to switch into matchups they didn't like on defense.
We have to do a better job of not switching when we aren't supposed to. We had matchups we wanted to work and didn't do that. Okay, that's a you problem again. Yeah. Like we hear that every single time. And even before that, he said that they got us to switch when we didn't want to. No, like you've let it happen. Like they didn't force you. You let it happen. Your players on the court let it happen. Like, and this is the thing, is we've had 3 head coaches and
it's good. Yeah.
3 head defensive coaches the last 3 years. So again, like we keep saying, oh, change the coach, like not even just the head coach, but we've had 3 people in charge of defense the last 3 years and nothing has changed. We've had the same roster that still does the same stuff, but like you're swapping out coaches and that's not fixing anything. Like,
with
talent, so at
or lack
what
of.
Point, like, do you keep saying like, you know, we can't keep doing this. Well, like we hear it every game. Like that's all we've ever heard for 3 years is that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
we know.
We get it.
I would hope that it's not, you know, you're not out there losing games and that's what you're supposed to be doing. Like, I hope, you know, I'm glad they're saying that. Like we did exactly what we wanted to do. It's like,
it's more like we keep talking about, like, I don't even keep saying basketball IQ, but like basketball awareness. Like, I don't think it's guys out there going out there and saying, fuck it. I think it's them generally not being able to process that. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it because they have skills to do other things, but they don't be able to seem to process what is needed on that side of the court. Yeah. I mean, you can give effort, but at some point they have to be able to understand it.
And they couldn't get a stop.
And that's the thing. Like,
They just could not get a stop.
Regardless of the game, like you hearing the same stuff. Like it seems to be a fundamental problem.
And not that it's easy for any team to guard LeBron, but it does.
Right.
it brings up again the fact that they just, I mean, the fact that you eventually had to get to Damian Jones, a center, to guard him, just shows the lack of size that these guys have.
$1 million guy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. He's been around a bunch of other teams already in just a young career because he hasn't stuck anywhere. You don't have any wing talent. You know, you don't have any size on the wings.
How
can it be any more obvious than that game alone? Like, we don't know who to throw at LeBron because Harrison can't keep up with him. He's our best bet.
We have point guards and centers. That's what we have to throw at him.
We get our Davion Mitchell, who's our best defender, but he's 6 foot tall, 6 feet tall, and he's a rookie. And LeBron will just bully him, you know, although I would love to have seen that if that were to happen, like Pat Bev, Kevin Durant style. But
yeah, I mean, that's really the general thing. Like, there's nobody on the roster.
No, I miss Lewis King.
I would love someone to tell me height and strength wise, who could have maybe Holmes, like if Holmes was available. Ada. I don't know. My guess is that's probably who you would have thrown at him.
Yeah, I can have seen that.
That's who's going to be on the court, not Jones.
Yeah.
Holmes is going to be on the court. I mean, that's why Jones is playing right now. So
he's earned those minutes too, but not the starting minutes. Yeah.
Right. But in a normal, you know, healthy world, Holmes would be out there. Jones would be getting his minutes, hopefully, but Holmes would be out there at the end of a game.
Some positives, I guess, from this game is that there wasn't the ultimate third quarter collapse. It was more of the back end of the fourth quarter collapse. That was emphasized with straight LeBron's buckets. Takeover. Yeah. Just no resistance on the defensive end. And then, of course, the jump ball situation that was had Gentry and Fox up in arms after the game, which Gentry made the point that this is not a diss on the refs because the refs do what they're supposed to do. It's just a shit rule.
Yeah.
And it is a shit rule.
And that there's no room for
adjustment.
Like, a ref decision to where like he would be able to evaluate and say like based on this, because I think it was Matt Moore put up was like, okay, well, what's to prevent now every home operator from oops, my finger slipped. Like, I mean, granted they're not going to do that, but you've left yourself open now that it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
That the kid gets punished for pointing something out. Like that's, we all get it's the rule, but it's clearly a shitty rule. And that the fact that there's no room for a ref adjustment kind of to, you know, based on the scenario is lame.
I know that I'm confident rather that Gentry will not be the coach next year, but I will enjoy for the remainder of this season his just every single one of his postgame pressers. Because the man has no filter. And I can relate to that. He gives no shits. As a man with no filter myself, I love it. I love it, especially when you're frustrated, your team lost in a tough way to a team that they could have beaten, you know, on the road again. Yeah, I say whatever, dude. I don't care. And I don't think he'll get fined for that in any way because he didn't insult the refs, just kind of insulted the rule, which I don't know if that's something that Adam Silver can fine him over for saying. Maybe he can't. Fox had a great.
So we just got some. Of now, the plan is for Kata, Lewis King, and Robert Woodard to play for the Stockton Kings tonight. Things are fluid with the current state of the league, obviously. But that means Ramsey is staying.
Good.
So interesting.
Like Ramsey.
Enough?
Yeah. Well, we know they don't like Woodard at this point.
At this point, it's a roster spot, like unless you're using him in a trade,
he's gonna be in a trade. Has to be.
I mean, you're not even trying to build anything either.
Not raise his value at all.
Whatever
the college tape is that teams have about him, that's what you got to go off of.
Which is like, is he had promise, like most people had him mocked at 30 to the Celtics, that was their kind of guy.
He had a poor man's Kawhi Leonard type of vibe.
Just, whether it was that off year that knocked something, whether his, I don't know, people said he looked bigger wise, like, and that might have prevented some of his, you know, skill set, you know, changing. I don't know.
Because now that we say his name,
he can't seem to stay healthy either. And that's true. Another, so it's hard to get any kind of development without being able to play. So
yes, Yes. If Woodard was on the bench in that game yesterday, I actually would have, he wouldn't have done it. Gentry wouldn't have. That's a guy I would have thrown at LeBron because he's a truck. He's a wing player. He's not as tall as LeBron, but he's physical. You know, he's a PJ Tucker. I think that's a better analysis. I think I had heard him compared to PJ Tucker when he got drafted. That would have been a better bet than the $1 million center Damian Jones. But unfortunately, he's in purgatory at this point. Fox had a great game. 30 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, kind of shutting up Carmichael Dave after his comments on the radio yesterday about, well, I don't even need to go down that tunnel, but he's stirring the pot, Carmichael Dave is. It must be, I think I saw John Bull retweet it and say it must be a slow content day at 11:40 because they were spinning something there. What I will point out, though, Jill, I don't know if you take anything of this. I just feel like we haven't had many games when Fox and Haliburton are together playing that they both play at a high level. Haliburton wasn't terrible yesterday, but he wasn't the Haliburton we had seen when Fox was out. He was 7 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. He went back to being like not as aggressive. Then he missed the shots.
He had a couple games where he was aggressive with Fox back. And then it was my thing that I've kind of noticed about him too is if his shots don't fall early in the first three he shot did not, he doesn't keep going at it.
Right.
And I think that's something a young player is going to have to adjust because there was a 4 minute, 3 to 4 minute stint where he played without Fox, right? In the first quarter, first and partial second, they had 12 possessions. He shot it once and they had 5 straight turnovers during that stretch too.
Good stat.
And so to me, yeah, in 12 possessions, you should be shooting more than once especially with some of the other players on that you're playing with having to play with that. Like to me, that's where you can maybe use that to get in a rhythm where you were off the last, you know, your first three shots. I also think he did a better job in the second half where within the first couple minutes, he got 4 shots up right away. So already went, you know, and then Hickman Mitchell had a little bit better of a second rotation together. That second half, but yeah, I just felt like he was non-aggressive again. But again, like I can't blame that on Fox because Fox wasn't even in. Like that's my thing people were commenting to me on it again, like, oh, he's back, so now he's not going to do this. Well, he did it the last 3 games with him back. Like, I mean, so my thing is that's his mentality. Nobody else should be affecting that. The rest of the team has been telling him, regardless of who is on the court, stay aggressive because he passed up open shots. And then he was even going a little bit slower. Like he was thinking too much about it because he was off.
Yeah.
That it's just something, again, a young kid's going to have to adjust. And that's part of me also being scared of throwing the reins at him too early because I don't want to mess the guy up either.
No, and we've done that enough.
Because then everyone's going to be, if he does this without Fox, then it's going to be trash Haliburton. And I don't want to do that. So
he had 10 field goal attempts. Fox had 21. So I've said it like this before. I just don't think when he's with Fox on the court,
Buddy was hot.
He doesn't look to do that anymore. He looks to be that glue guy, which is great. That's what he's, you know, that's what makes him an awesome player and a likable guy. Is he does everything, but I just wish that he would remember that just because Fox is scoring doesn't mean you need to stop scoring or try and dish it to him. Like, keep shooting yourself, dude. If you get shots,
because there were multiple times where Fox was in the corner and Haliburton was initiating and got rid of it. Like,
yeah, go get your points, dude.
Take it.
Yeah.
So Fox again, was, like that's his.
You don't
his
need to delegate to Fox.
Fox wasn't even involved. That's what I'm saying. Fox was standing in the corner, so it's not even Fox ended up with the shot. Like, so at some point, like, that's you now need to, like, we put him in the corner. You need to now, like, do what you're supposed to do. Because the ball never even went back to Fox. Like, I was around and was, like, trying to pay attention to see, like, what, and it was, one of them was a forced pass to Damian Jones, and he did a bounce pass instead of getting it up, and it resulted in a turnover. And so sometimes I just think, again, he gets too complacent, and we've said this all year, regardless of who he's playing with and not. So that's just something, because again, even when Fox sat down and he's on the court by himself. Like, the mentality didn't change. And that's where I have the issue just as much. It wasn't like Fox was there, and so you have to defer back to him. No, like, it was you and Mitchell. You shouldn't be deferring to Mitchell. No. Or to Len, which you did like three times and it caused turnovers. So it's like, to me, like, he just needs to stick with the aggressive all the time mentality, or to take advantage when your time comes, regardless of who is on the court with you.
It's weird. It is a weird thing. It's definitely a mental thing, because we know the coaches are telling him to shoot. We know Fox is telling him. Fox said that to him. You know, people try to make this a bigger thing than it was. Fox's first game back, he told Haliburton, just keep doing you. Keep doing what you've been doing. No, don't care that I'm here.
Like I said, he had three shots early. They didn't fall. And so I felt like he just went away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like, that's the just as much heels. Where it wasn't like he kept trying to go at it. And that, to me, is as much of an issue as who's on the court. Like, if he had kept going at it, then we're not saying he's not being aggressive with Fox on the court. He got three shots right away when Fox was hot. He just didn't make them and then went away from it.
Yeah.
So when we see when Fox is out there with Buddy takes as many shots as he wants. Like,
that's not a problem for Buddy Hield.
Barnes, we keep telling him to shoot more. It's the same kind of thing. Like, that no one's taking away these guys' shots. It's just, they're also passing them up when they're being passed to them. It's not like they're not getting the ball. And so that's frustrating. And I think too, when Buddy's hot, he takes a lot of the shots away as well. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah.
And Haliburton will find him. Like, that's Halliburton style too. And I don't fault that either if Buddy's hot. So
you look at the bench, because only four guys came off the bench yesterday. Hield, Mitchell, Len, who was a turnover machine towards the end. He had three turnovers by the end of it. And then Harkless was back in the rotation for this game. Hield had 18 field goal attempts. The second most was Mitchell, who had 9. So understandably, because he had the hot hand, but we've said this many times throughout this season, the bench unit is pretty much just Buddy Hield. And then when Buddy doesn't do well, then we have no idea who's, like, someone needs to step up. And usually someone doesn't, and then the Kings lose the game. So we can also point out the fact that the bench unit didn't really give enough outside of Hield. Although they were shorthanded. Yeah. We know they were shorthanded. I'm starting to like Alex Len less and less. I've said this also before, but I don't know. He's kind of a frustrating player. I know Christina Warner was.
He hasn't been in any kind of rhythm. Like,
yeah, that's fair. He's been in and out a lot.
But I'm just saying, like, that he seems kind of like a rhythm player. And like, this happened when he was in Toronto at the beginning of last year. And he got traded, he got dropped, right? And then Washington picked him up and he was in a great rhythm there. When we traded for him from, what was it, Atlanta, he was not playing well. And then he had the best second half of his career with us. It was just, he got in that rhythm and he's just never found that this year. Here, unfortunately. Or if he did, he had like a bunch of, you know, DNPs after that, and then it kind of
COVID
flared out again. But yeah, I'm looking at the box score. So what was it against Miami? Haliburton only had he had 12 of 6, but only shot the ball 6 times, and Fox only shot the ball 12 that game. Buddy Hield at 18. So it wasn't like Fox took away. But Jones went off that game and had like 9 attempts. So that's even more. So I think there are some nuances depending on like who's hot that game. I mean, we see with this team that there's like, you know, not really any kind of, I can count on this guy getting so many shots again.
Right. There's no
against Dallas. It was 10 and Fox had 14. I'm fine with 10. Bagley had 14 shots that game. Metu had 13. So it's just like there doesn't seem to be any kind of consistency between any of them in like how many shots. It's, which I don't mind if you're fighting the hot hand. Like, I'm all for that. Like we've said, I'd rather have you win because you played smart basketball than forcing something that's not necessarily there for an empty stat. The first game against Dallas, he had 13 shot attempts and Fox only had 12. So he had more than Fox that game and had the assists. And so, and with Fox backs, he's still getting all the assists. It's just his shots His field goal attempts has fluctuated. But like I said, I went back through all those three games and you saw three different players have three different hot games that hadn't necessarily had hot games before. And so even Fox himself had lower field goal attempts. So yeah. I know we want to throw everything on Fox all the time, but I will say that there's some, if you go and look at the box scores, there's nuance to things too. So.
Absolutely. And if we want people shooting field goals at high clips for the Kings, more often than not, we want it to be Fox, Halliburton. And then if he's hitting them, doing well, we want to see Buddy Hield.
Metu shouldn't be having more shot attempts than Halliburton.
No.
Like, and I mean, that's not a Fox problem.
Nope, not a Fox problem. It's a Metu thinking he's God problem.
Yeah. So,
well, let's get to,
and again, none of this is preaching Fox stay or go. This is just
nuanced
conversation of there are plenty of people getting shot attempts outside of the two that we talk about.
Until that happens, the Fox, if it happens, or we hear start rumors, I'm going to try, Jill, I know you are probably the same. I'm just going to stay off that sinking ship or that I don't even know what the word is.
There's no guarantee.
Show.
Like, there's plenty of options. And no one move is a guarantee. Like, sorry. No. Like, there's no guarantee for Kings fans. Like, there isn't. And so, to me, you can't sell me that something is a guarantee to change something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's
not. We have no idea.
If you make a smart decision, awesome. Like we said, we'll support it. If it equals wins, we're all about it. Like, we don't care. But I'm also not just going to force something because you think something doesn't work right now. Like, I'm not about selling low on some of the few talent we have. Like, it makes me laugh that people are mad that they got rid of Bogey for nothing and are perfectly okay with sending Fox for nothing. Not everyone thinks he should go for nothing, but I've had plenty of comments sent to me that they just want him gone completely and it's addition by subtraction. And I can't. Sorry,
and they're emotional.
I don't agree with that.
That's what makes them
but
fans.
If you're getting legit talent back, sure. Again, everyone is available on a bad team.
Yep, best way of putting it. No shitty team gets untouchables. It just doesn't happen unless there's just some guy that you're like, okay, this is the dude. Everyone else, we need to figure it out. Right now with this team, I wouldn't say, again, Tyrese Halliburton probably has the biggest case, but I wouldn't say anyone's the guy. None of these guys are the Kings. We don't know.
Like Jason Jones had a great comment yesterday with D'Lo and KC. You know guys' weaknesses, right? Like, we know where guys are having problems. But if you keep running back the same thing over and over, you're going to have guys keep playing outside of what they're good at to try and fix these other things that could be prevented if you had just changed things around. Mm-hmm. Like, you just keep running the same non-working thing back. And you're making guys, again, play outside of maybe what they could be good at to try and, you know, facilitate other people's shortcomings and things like that. So it's when you keep running the same thing back, why we were optimistic and hoped that something could change. But again, why were we necessarily expecting change when we've seen the same thing not work for 3 years?
Yeah. No, we're
insane. I mean, we were
that.
Optimistic as fans because we're fans, like, right? We're always going to hope for good things. But again, they just showed that this team together apparently is just not capable of it. Nope. No matter how many times we try it and force it, it just does not seem to.
And I think Monty McNair knows that. Work. And I think the management knows that. I think Vivek Ranadive knows that. I just think they're using their time, which is annoying because we don't have patience. We want to see something change now. But McNair has been described, and I think Sam Amick used this word exactly, was he's just pragmatic. He's not going to rush to something. He's going to try and find the right deal at the right time. And we know when that happens, he'll do it. And hopefully it won't fall through because of some league rule or because of some other team hopping in and offering a different trade. We've gone through enough with this bullshit in trades with McNair at the helm.
And
I hope
I'm perfectly okay with the like weight approach. But to me, at some point, like with every other team, you have your plan, right? They've had their plan for 2 years. If it's just not there, at some point, you're going to have to pivot. because you're just wasting. You're wasting seasons at that point. And every other team has done it. Because to me, you can still swap some pieces. And if you're looking at guys with big salaries, again, you're still having to send out guys and get salary back. So pieces you take back will still be able to fit in big salary things. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you have to start splitting some of that up.
Yeah.
Like they were going to do Buddy into splitting it into two, right? Like, and that would have given you two more pieces to move. My just thing is, we've never seen him be able to pivot from a failed move. Right. And the good teams find ways to land a pivot. Mm-hmm. We heard about Memphis multiple times this offseason. They talked to us about Valanciunas. They then made the move with New Orleans. They sent off Grayson Allen for, you know, a younger talent, but it drops salary. Like we have such a huge, we went over that cap space too, right? Like we're huge in cap space compared to wins. At some point, like you have to change something.
Yep.
And I get that he's waiting for that big blockbuster move. Every team is. Like, that's the problem. And so if it doesn't happen, what are you going to go year three now and pray that it happens and then not change anything? Like, at some point, you have to adjust. And granted, he did adjust with, you know, the deals that didn't work. But again, the deals that didn't work don't help us. There's been no backup plan to those deals, or they failed. We have no idea, right? Because we're not privy to the conversations. All I know is that plan A hasn't happened yet. And apparently plan B and C haven't happened yet, because we saw B and C, and, you know, or we saw B and it didn't work. And we have yet to see C. So I'm waiting to see A and C at this point.
Yeah. It's just, you know, right now McNair's tenure is about what could have been and not what actually has happened. Nothing's really happened. If you take a second and think about where this team was, and I know people have done this. I know the Kings Herald guys have broken down, like, on the roster, who was there with Vlade in charge, now who's still here with McNair in charge. Not that much has really shuffled. The coaching has changed slightly because Gentry was already here, or Gentry was hired in McNair's first year.
I mean, the draft picks, right? Like,
it's literally the draft picks. Chimezie Metu is a waiver claim. Louis King, who's probably played almost entirely in the G League. Alex Len coming back. Terrence Davis getting acquired, then being forgotten as a player on this team, and then brought, you know, back on the team, or brought back in the rotation. And Terrence Davis, what I'm trying to say here, and I'm like having a stroke while saying it, it's like him and Mo Harkless are those guys that have runs and they probably do well, or they help the team, and then they're forgotten about for a while, and then they come back and then they get forgotten about. It's a weird thing. It's, they just haven't figured out what they want to do with those guys yet. So in my opinion, get rid of them. If you don't really know what they're going to do for you, then let's stop jerking them around. It's not fair to them, and it's just getting annoying. But
yeah,
McNair has the green light. That's not really news. We know that. We figured that he had Vivek's blessing to blow this roster up. The catch, though, of course, Jill, is if he's going to blow it up, it needs to be for the betterment of the team.
Right. Yes. And my problem with that is their salary being so high is they've eliminated themselves from being able to take on contracts for assets. You know what I mean? Like, where bad teams, right, were either insert themselves in third team deals or take on a bad contract for a first. Like, we've eliminated ourselves from doing that by keeping this high salary. Like, to me, like, there are like ways that you can move. It doesn't have to be all one way, like all the other. And like, that's all we ever see. It's either we're waiting for the big thing, or like we're sitting in the middle, like doing nothing.
Yep.
And they don't even have a roster spot open to even take anything at this point. You know, eventually that could always change, but that's more my thing is you see the teams that have passed us, and their development, and it's by allowing themselves flexibility to not just go one way.
Yep.
McNair said he wanted to be flexible. Multiple things with it. And so, and again, I know it takes two to tango, but it's exhausting just waiting. Because again, we can say they picked a lane based on, right, this wording of, we want to, what was it? What was the thing? They're motivated to make the kind of move that would both bolster their chances in the present, right? Bolster their chances in the present while also giving them away for sustained success in the future. That's every team.
Right. You want a guy that's a good player that's under contract for years to come. Cool. You're probably going to have to give up the guys then that are under contract.
I mean, that's like the Atlanta deal. I would say like maybe that's being floated around where it's Gallo and Reddish for a player. Mm-hmm. To me, that could be considered where you're getting two, right? You're getting a two for one. So that could bolster your chances this year, right? But you also got a young player that you can now start on a new contract possibly and see what, you know, and presumably less than 20 million, right? And see what you can do there. Like to me, that's the kind of thing. Or even if you, the Patrick Williams, right? We've heard Chicago
the popular one
possibly wanting Grant or Barnes. And they were talking, you know, Patrick Williams and maybe a first, like there's different, different iterations of that, but like those things I can see, but again, I can see other teams being interested in that kind of stuff too. So it's, again, it's hard.
Smart teams pursue smart trades.
But again, like you can say you want to go on this lane, like, and they can say they've picked their lane. Great. Fine. We want the star. We want to do all this stuff. But until you actually do something to get in the lane, you're still in no man's land. Like you haven't picked the tanking lane and you haven't picked the, I'm going to try and, you know, slowly bolster or whatever. Like you're still in the no lane. Man's land because you haven't done anything to actually get in a lane. So it's just more talking to me, right? Like, and the fact that, how sad is it that like that article has to even exist? To me, that's every team out there right now who's not maybe like already the Houston, right? Who's already at the bottom or something like that. Every team's looking to make themselves better and prolong success. Like that's the definition, right? Of what a GM would be trying to do. You can say OKC is even doing that just in a different way. Right. Like they're trying to get better for their prolonged success. But the fact that Sacramento even has to be mentioned in that and that Vivek's still letting him do it, that tells you everything still with the state of this place. And that, again, you can say all you want, you know, who's in charge, who's not, they can do, what they can't do. Until something's done, it's just words.
I think you just answered it there, Jill. You're talking about the Kings. You're talking about the team with the longest postseason drought, the most dysfunctional franchise in the NBA. If you were to ask NBA fans, just 10 NBA fans line up, say, what's the most dysfunctional NBA franchise in your mind? I bet you 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10 are going to say, well, the Kings. Kings are probably the most dysfunctional because that's their reputation.
I mean, yeah.
So the fact this article exists.
Detroit and Houston are worse than us. And you don't see, you know, articles out there saying, oh, the owner's going to let the GM do this. Like, no.
You took my train of thought. That was what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So it's because our owner has this reputation. So it's felt like it's important to report for Sam Amick. By the way, guys, Vivek's chilling right now. Like he's not nosing in and everything as he does in the past. That's the only reason this exists is because Vivek has made that reputation for himself as a piss poor owner. And so now we got to like touch base. Like what's Vivek up to today? It's ridiculous. And then the Ben Simmons, they threw Ben Simmons in there as we're still interested. Cool. Knew that. Don't care anymore.
Nothing new there. Yeah. And again, that's going to be up to Morey, not to the Kings.
Right.
As we know, because they want the all-star player back.
Yeah.
And their all-star player back that they wanted might be getting ready to shut down for the season, which creates a whole nother wrinkle for the Kings because Portland is under us, I think, right now in the standings. So who knows what happens there?
I mean, these other teams are helping the Kings unintentionally, of course, but like,
I mean, and I don't blame Portland for that. Antonio. Like I would, if that's my franchise guy and he's been hurt since the summer and you just had your other, you know, star player with him go down with the collapsed lung. And I mean, it's been a shit show for them all year. And his stomach isn't getting better. And if you read about that, it sounds extremely painful. It's like your stomach muscles, like where your six pack, it like sticks to your pelvis. Like it just sounds extreme. Like even just moving sounds like it would be painful. So why would you even risk that? Like regardless if you keep him or want to trade him away, like I wouldn't want it to get worse.
No.
And if that's the only way you can keep your pick this year because you traded it, and I think there might be some protections on it, then
I still hold by the belief that you talk about two to tango. The person that's going to probably end up tangoing first, dancing, stepping up to the dance floor and grabbing his hand, Monty McNair's hand, is going to be Darren Warren, just because they have that relationship and they have what the other needs, you know, or wants a change. I think that if Maury wants to get rid of, or if he wants De'Aaron Fox, and the Kings are willing to give De'Aaron Fox, and McNair wants Ben Simmons, obviously I would say that's the most realistic trade, more so than Halliburton going for Simmons. He's going to have to eventually talk with teams that he has relationships with. And maybe
but if he's really truly holding out for Dame and Beal, then Fox isn't going to move.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think he's
that's where the difference is. Like if he finally accepts that that's not going to happen, it'll be interesting.
No, Maury's going to see the clock ticking down and decide I need to figure out something. We are Shaquille O'Neal on the Celtics days away from the trade deadline. So 36, 36 days, February 10th at 12 PM our time here in California and on the West Coast. A lot of days, a lot of time for things to change. We know things will, we know the Kings will probably go through their peaks and valleys as they do, but now we know with confirmation from our most trusted source, I would say, in Sam Amick, that McNair does have permission to do things. If he ever decides he would like to do something, it's getting tired. Like we're all fascinated on Monty McNair, who right now is probably the most boring human being in the organization. The guy doesn't, you know, he dresses the same every day. He always has a super dad, like van kicks. He's rocking. He's always like super friendly, you know, dabbing up Katie Christensen and Kyle Draper. And it's like, you're just like here right now, dude. That's really all you are. You're like, you're as important to me as the secretary. Cause you're just hanging out, you know, taking the paycheck. Living the American dream.
Until you make that first significant move, then you've taken over the team. And now I'll go back to Jason Jones again. Until you make the move that really changes this roster from Vlade's to yours,
yep.
It's still that limbo phase.
You're just living rent-free, dude. And it's a really good way of putting it. Until you make the switch from what Vlade did to something you did, then you've done nothing. This is still Vlade
Divac's team. Like you've drafted. Team. That's all you've done. Cool.
Yeah. And you did a good job at it. We've all admitted it. He's done better with those two picks than we think Vlade would have done with those two picks. Hasn't translated to actually anything though. So in that sense,
because your core problems still remain.
Right. Nothing else has changed. Tonight we're gonna close out here, just previewing the Hawks game. The 16-20 Hawks been a disappointment this year, but they've dealt with so many injuries and now have been dealing with COVID. You know, stop me if you've heard that from every other NBA team by this point. 3-7 in their last 10.
Bogey was getting ready to come back
from his
injury, like the same day, I think. And then he got taken out.
He's in protocols. John Collins is in protocols.
I think he just came out, but they're not going to play him because of conditioning. I want to say there was a new
Collins
tweet that came out. Yeah.
Okay. That's a win for the Kings.
That he came out. But yeah, it's conditioning, which we've seen a couple other teams do at this point where they're going to throw him in on Friday after they get a little workout with them. I think the Kings did that with Len too.
Right.
No, they did. Some guys that might've been feeling it more than others.
Yeah. So you're facing a team that's had a similar type of arc or themes this year of just ups and downs, adjusting to the ever-changing NBA landscape. They're in Sacramento. Then they travel to Denver. And then they go to Portland. They're doing a little West Coast traveling. And then they'll be back home next Monday to play. Well, it's how long is this homestand? I ran out of space. They have a 5-game homestand. They have a lot of home games, Jill. 5-game homestand starting January 10th against the Cavaliers. And then they have what will probably be their longest road trip of the season. That's 5 games starting January 22nd. I do love, I've said this, the NBA symmetry. Where if you play 4 home games, then guess what? You're going to now play 4 road games. Yeah, you're sent off for 4 road games. It's just like they're doing their best to balance things out, which comes with obviously playing in the pandemic. You're trying to keep things, you know, very simplistic. They're not trying to travel as crazy in these times. But yeah, Hawks tonight. I don't really even know what to say about the game. I haven't watched the Hawks enough, if I'm being honest, and it's not going to look like the Hawks.
They've been having some trouble, but it's also for the fact that it's like every other team. It's a different team almost playing every night because of, you know, protocols and injuries. So
Trae Young and Cam Reddish are questionable.
You know, Trae Young put up a 50 piece the other day and they still lost. So
there you go. Cause he's got no help really. We hope to see Cam Reddish if he does play. I know people will want to like do their own little scouting reports on him. Their last game, the Hawks last game. Okay. My phone's freaking out and I lost it. Who do they play, Jill? Do you remember? They played the Trailblazers. The Hawks played the Trailblazers on Monday in Portland, lost by 5, 136 to 131. No defense in this game whatsoever. So there's going to be a lot of scoring. Skylar May. Here's some of the guys that are playing for the Hawks right now. Skylar May, second year guard at a LSU, I believe. Yep.
He was there one of their two ways last year, I believe.
He was. And now he's playing a lot because they need him to. Timothy Luwau Cabaret, who's always been a really good corner three shooter everywhere he's gone.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And then Lou Williams, we'll see the return of DeLon Wright coming off the bench. Chris Clemens is on the Hawks right now. He's got some Rockets connections. McNair was on the staff when they brought him over. He used to be, you know, a kind of a key factor off the Hawks or the Rockets bench.
Rockets.
For a year there or two when they had.
Yeah, when he gets hot, he gets hot.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a scorer.
And he's doing that in the G League too, which is, you know, one of the reasons Atlanta grabbed him. It was smart, but their defense isn't the same as last year either. And there was that comment by Trey, right? Like a month or two ago about how now that we actually made it to the playoffs, it's like getting them their mindset to be.
Yeah, that's a weird quote.
Maybe just because they felt that. And so it was a totally different feeling. And now it's
like they've had lack of motivation there, or something.
But it's but I almost feel like that whole streak they had going in with that kind of mentality. It was the new coach, right? Like going into it. And now it's it just hasn't worked out.
No,
for
it
a
hasn't.
Variety of
and it's been that's been a
reason. Right. There's no guarantee. What do we say? There's no guarantee.
Nope. And there's a league-wide this year. It's a lot of chaos, a lot of things that are hurting this, a lot of teams in the same way. COVID, injuries, just a downfall in play. Like the Knicks are a prime example of a team that had these high expectations last year after making the playoffs, playing the Hawks. And they've been a disaster, really, in terms of how they were expected
Their
to play this year.
Hasn't been the same either. Yeah,
this is the thing with Thibodeau, though. You'll get two good years.
And Fournier hasn't really fit that mindset either.
Yeah.
You know, and then they tried to blame it on Kemba.
Yeah, poor Kemba. What did he do wrong?
It just hasn't. Yeah, but I mean, individual players like RJ Barrett has taken some leaps and things like that, which is cool.
Topping as well.
Team-wise, it just hasn't. Oh my God. But I watched a clip yesterday, but like, this is the kind of thing and it's with the league. And I'm sure you couldn't see Thibs' face, but I can only imagine. They were on a fast break and quickly had it and then passed it down. And then he was trailing and then it came back to him. And instead of going for a layup, he literally stopped like three, 4 feet from the basket, turned around, ran to the top of the 3-point line, shot a three and missed it. And there were no Knicks there, players there to rebound. And then they lost the possession, but it was like giving up the to take it and run back where it's
most
like
most extreme case.
But I mean, but it's like plays like that, where it's like, if you're not necessarily doing smart things like that can, you know, things like that can add up.
Even if he hits that, everyone probably still like, that was stupid. Why would
still
you do
a bad
that?
Shot, right?
Yeah, like it's, still a horrible
know.
Shot.
But like that's kind of the league right now, where it's just kind of chaos. And then, you know, like another team like the Pacers, they have a lot of talent. It just doesn't work together, or at least it hasn't. And so
that's another
situation where, but their owner also came out and said, I'm not just going to get rid of these guys to get rid of them. So there's going to have to be a conversation there too, where it's, you know, that'll be interesting. There's plenty of teams with talent out there that just are not executing this year too. And so it'll be interesting to see how many of these guys really are on the block. And how much was like, oh, we tried, but we're not accepting, you know, less than
the Pacers and Kings do make also a great amount of sense as partners if they can find that balance, because you've got two teams with cores that aren't working, that are wanting to make a change, have new coaches, but veteran coaches at that in charge that are wanting to win. They're not there for like a rebuild. So that is also a matching that could
be interesting.
Align. A lot of interesting things. We've been saying that a lot at these end of these episodes, because the NBA continues to be chaos. It's really just chaos. So amidst the chaos, teams are trying to figure out who they are, and the Kings are top that list. We will talk about it more on Friday. We're going to maybe try and get ourselves a guest like we have done on Fridays. We've had the past few Fridays off because of the holidays. If we can't get a guest, guys, we'll have Jill tap back into her coaching candidate list to get back into that. And other than that, that'll end the Wednesday show. Let's see if the Kings can answer with a win back in Sacramento tonight. I will not get my hopes up. Nor do I really even care anymore, truthfully. I just watch
another game.
Just watch the highlights afterwards and pretend like I was there and watch the whole thing. You do, though. Jill Adge never misses a game. Always watching.
Even if I don't see it live, I'll go back and watch it so that I know at least what happened.
I'm just out here making shit up. No, I'm kidding. All right, guys. Have a good rest of your day. Slater, dudes.